Welcome, everyone, to Lots of Love Ministries. We are so glad you have chosen to join us. You know, it's the week after Resurrection Sunday, and the world offers distractions and fleeting joys. But the resurrection points us to a God who is deeply present, steadfast, and the source of true joy and strength. Take some time to worship Him in spirit and truth before I share today's message. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow, what an awesome time. It is just awesome to worship the Lord and to remember who He is. And that's what we've been talking about the past few months in this series on the names of God. We've been learning about who He is and why we can worship Him and why we should worship Him in spirit and truth, because He is worthy in all His names. We've learned so many of them over the past few weeks. So recapping what we have learned so far, because it helps us remember who we serve, an awesome and mighty God who is Bore, our creator, and Elohim, the mighty one who shaped the universe and still cares for us. He is El Elyon, God above all gods and powers, and El Olam, God everlasting, outside of time, unchanging, and eternal. Oh, I know I've said this and repeated this the past few weeks, but I just think that every week we should remember who He is. El Shaddai, God Almighty, All Sufficient One, the God of abundance and power, who nourishes and supplies. And El Roy, God who sees me, the God who notices, cares, and acts on our behalf. Oh, aren't you glad that He sees you and acts on your behalf? Don't ever forget who He is. Rehearsing these names week after week gets them buried deep in our spirit, that we will remember when we need Him which name to call upon. Or you could just call on Yeshua. But we learned that He is Jireh, our provider, and Rapha, our healer. We learned that He has a covenant name, Yahweh, the I am who I am. And He is a God, the one true God. He is Nissi, the Lord, our banner, and Shalom, our peace. We also learned that Yeshua is the one true God, and we can trust Him in all His names. That's why, if that's the only name you want to call upon, it works. But sometimes it helps. It helps to call on Yahweh, Jireh, our provider, when you're in need, or when you're sick, fighting a battle in your health, call on Yahweh Rapha, or Adonai Rapha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We learn to trust Him as Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Yahweh Zavaot, the Lord of hosts, and Adonai Nilkem Li, the Lord who fights for us. Oh, aren't you glad that you have a God that fights for you? That He is Lord of all the hosts of heaven, and He gives His angels charge over you. Hallelujah. We then moved from the battlefield to the pasture and met Yeshua as Yahweh Raha, or Adonai Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Aren't you glad you have a shepherd who is there? The great shepherd who cares for you, who takes care of you, who leads you to green pastures and beside still waters, who covers you with His rod and His staff. Oh, hallelujah. Then we focused on two powerful names, Kadosh Israel, the Holy One of Israel, and Yahweh Mikudishkim, the Lord who sanctifies you, as we prepared for Passover. And we discussed Yahweh Tzavot, Yahweh Moshiach, Yeshua, our Passover Lamb and Redeemer. Oh, hallelujah! We have a Passover Lamb that died once for all. No longer do we have to do the animal sacrifices. Aren't you glad for that? I know I am. I love animals, and I would, you know, hate to have to sacrifice so many bulls and sheep and all those things all the time. That's just crazy. But now all we do is depend on our Passover Lamb, Yeshua, who redeemed us. And last week, we focused on the resurrection, because don't you know, it's not a complete story unless he rises from the dead. That seals the victory. Hallelujah. God's power brings life from death, hope from despair. And we learn those names, Elkai, the living God, and El Osefela, God who works wonders. And we talked about Yeshua, the resurrection and the life. And today, we're going to look at a few beautiful names that reveal what kind of God we walk with now that he's risen. El Simchat Gili, God by exceeding joy, and El Sali and El Sur, or Yahweh Shuri, meaning God is my strength, the Lord is my rock. And we sang about that during worship, that Yeshua is the rock on which we stand, our shelter in the time of storm. And all other ground is shaking sand, but he is the solid rock on which we stand. Hallelujah. But before we jump fully into it, let's pray. El Simchat Gili, God of our joy, Yahweh Suri, our rock and our strength, we pause in your presence this morning, grateful that you are not just the one who gives gifts, but you yourself are the gift, our exceeding joy, the solid ground beneath our feet, the strength we lean on when we are weak. Thank you that while the world around us shifts and changes, you remain steady, faithful, and true. Thank you that your joy is deeper than our circumstances. Your strength is greater than our weakness. And your love is stronger than our fears. We sang about your faithfulness through all the generations, and you've never failed, so why would you fail now? You won't. You won't fail. Now, as we gather to worship and open your word and study who you are in the strength and the joy and the rock, open our hearts. Help us to see you as you truly are. Fill us with your joy that cannot be shaken. Anchor us to your faithfulness. Meet us with your strength right where we need it most. We offer this time to you, asking that your spirit would move among us, lifting our heads, steadying our hearts, and drawing us closer to your heart. May every distraction be silenced. We and this place are covered by your blood. We're surrounded by your angels, and your spirit fills us. May every word I teach be truth and come from your heart, Father. In the name of Yeshua, our risen King. Amen. You know, I love the Psalms. There's something in them for every situation or circumstance in life. David especially was raw in his communications with Yahweh. In Psalm 43:4, the psalmist writes, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God." These words weren't penned during a time of ease and comfort. In the background of Psalms 43, there's trouble, frustration, and a sense of being weighed down. Notice the honesty. David doesn't pretend life is perfect. Instead, he makes a choice. He goes to the altar, to the presence of God, and discover something astonishing. Joy isn't found in the absence of problems, but in the nearness of God Himself. We live in a world that chases happiness like it's a finish line. If only my circumstances would improve, if only things would go my way, then I'd really feel joyful. But the joy David described is different. This isn't a fleeting high or a distraction from pain. This is joy that runs deep, rooted in the unchanging character of God. It's joy that survives the worst days because it doesn't depend on what's happening around us. It depends on who is with us. That's something we need to really remember because I don't know about you, but me, sometimes when I'm going through a tough day, I don't feel that joy. So it's good to be reminded that my joy isn't depend on whether I have a good day or a bad day. My joy is found in Him. He's with me and never leaves me or forsakes me. And there's a secret here. Joy is possible, even in sorrow, because God Himself is present with us. That's a key. No, just meditate on that for a minute. Joy is possible, even in sorrow, because God Himself is present with us. I know I need this reminder. How about you? David teaches us that joy isn't something we work up or manufacture. It's something we receive when we draw near to God, when we come to Him, even with our pain and confusion, and choose to worship. That's why he goes to the altar. That's why he picks up his instrument and sings. He's not waiting for life to get better before he worships. He's worshiping because God is worthy. And in that place, God meets him with joy. Let me share a personal moment that brought this truth home for me. There was a season in my life when I was struggling with health issues. I mean, serious health issues. In and out of the hospital. And there were days when the pain was real. I mean, like, serious. And I wasn't sure how I'd make it through. And one day in that place of extreme pain, cut off from the world, all alone, the Lord led me to worship Him. It didn't make sense to my natural mind. But as I obeyed, something changed. Pain left. In its place, joy and gratitude flooded in. Joy that didn't come from a changed diagnosis or an easy answer, but from God's presence right there in the struggle. He became my exceeding joy. And I'll tell you, I was full of joy when He showed Himself faithful as I obeyed. Hallelujah. So I hope that's a lesson for you on how to deal with things when you're going through extreme pain. Just begin to enter into His presence. Worship Him. It's difficult at first, but the more you do, the easier it gets. And before you know it, you're in a whole different place. So let me ask you, where have you looked for joy outside of God? What might it look like if this week you let Him be your exceeding joy? What if you brought your real life, your questions, your struggles, your hopes to His altar and simply worshiped? The promise of Psalm 43:4 is that joy is found not in a perfect life, but in the presence of a perfect God. Worship is the doorway to that joy. If you're in a hard place today, don't wait for your circumstances to change before you come to God. Bring your whole self to Him right now. Worship Him in the middle of your reality, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Let it become your exceeding joy, the song in your heart, the strength in your spirit. There's real joy waiting at His altar. Joy that sustains, joy that heals, and joy that carries us through. The next name I want to bring out is El Sali, the Lord is my strength, or God my rock. The scripture I want to read where this is found is 2 Samuel 22:47. And I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. Adonai lives, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. Wow. Wow, this was before the cross. Samuel is worshiping him as the rock of his salvation. Oh God, my rock, is to say he is stable, reliable, and a place of safety when life feels chaotic. The psalmist declared it in Psalms 18:2 in a cry of trust. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. In a world where there's so much shifts under our feet, where relationships change, jobs come and go, and even our own hearts can be unpredictable, this is a powerful image. To call God my rock is to claim something unwavering, a foundation that will not roll away in the storms of life. Firm foundation. Shelter in the time of storm. That's what we're saying today. He's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Think about what a rock is in the natural world. Rocks don't move, typically. They stand the test of time. They weather every storm and remain after the wind and the rain have passed. God is like that. He doesn't change, no matter what shakes around us. When life is uncertain and the ground feels unsteady, we have a place to stand that will never give way. God's character is firm. His promise is secure. His love unbreakable. King David, who wrote these words, lived through years of uncertainty. Hunted by Saul, betrayed by friends, chased from his own throne. Yet again and again, David returned to this truth. God was his rock. Not just a distant theoretical idea, but a living refuge, a place of safety, a shelter from chaos, a foundation when everything else was crumbling. We each have seasons when all we can do is cling to God as our rock. Sometimes that's all we need. I would say most times. All we need is Jesus. Yeshua himself used the same image when he spoke about the wise and foolish builders. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall. For its foundation had been built on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You find this in Matthew 7. 24 through 27. So another dimension to this name that runs straight through the New Testament is that Yeshua is called the rock. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says, "They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Wow, this is a revelation right here, if you can grab hold of it. Paul is saying this in 1 Corinthians 10:4 about Israelites. When they were going through the wilderness, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. Think about the story of when they were going through the wilderness. Think about them getting water from the rock and being led by the fire by day, or the cloud by day, the fire by night. They were led by Christ. By God. This right here shows that Yeshua is God. Because Paul says it. The rock was Christ. This is a powerful revelation right here. If you could grab hold of it. Yeshua is the fulfillment of every hope for stability. Every longing for a foundation. He is the unshakable cornerstone. the one on whom we can build our lives with confidence. He was there for them in the wilderness, and he's here for us today. Unchangeable. Unshakable. Oh, doesn't that encourage you that you serve a God that cannot and will not fail? And 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no one can lay any other foundation than what is already laid, which is Yeshua the Messiah. This truth comes into sharp focus in Yeshua's conversation with Peter in Matthew 16. After Peter declares, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Yeshua responds by saying, you are Peter, Petros, a little rock. And on this rock, Petra, a massive rock, a boulder, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The rock on which the kingdom is built isn't Peter himself, but the truth of who Yeshua is, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That confession, that faith, is the unmovable foundation for our lives and for the whole community of believers. When we call God our rock, when we trust Yeshua as the rock, we are staking our lives on something that cannot be shaken. It's not just poetry. It's a lifeline. In moments of chaos, pain, or deep uncertainty, you can declare, God, you are my rock. You can run to him, take refuge, and know you are safe. So take a moment and name the storms or uncertainties you're facing right now. Speak them honestly before God. And then in faith, declare, God, you are my rock. Let him anchor you. Let him be the solid ground beneath your feet. In him, you'll find a place to stand, no matter what comes. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that an encouraging word right there? That we have someone that is so strong and unshakable, and we belong to him. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to talk about El Sur or Yahweh Suri, which also means God is my strength, the Lord is my rock. In Deuteronomy 13:4, Moses calls out in song, he is the rock, his works are perfect, all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. There's a richness to this Hebrew word that goes beyond what we might first imagine. Sure, doesn't just mean a stone or a boulder. It's used for crags, cliffs, and even the impenetrable bedrock beneath the earth. When scripture refers to God as our sure, it's describing something massive, unshakable, and unchanging. This is a God who is not only a safe place to run to, but the very foundation that supports us when everything else feels like it's giving way. And this theme, as you see, is all through scripture, from Moses to David to Samuel to Yeshua and Peter and Paul, all the way from the beginning to the end. Yeshua is the rock. Hallelujah. All three of these names, El Sali, El Sur, Yahweh Suri, convey the kind of strength that doesn't just protect, but empowers. God, as I sure, is the one who holds us together when we feel like coming apart. He's not just a shield from the storm. He's the one who gives us the courage to stand up in the middle of it. When you feel your own strength running out, when you're tired and worn and the obstacles ahead seem impossible, El Sur steps in, not only to defend you, but to fill you with his strength. The same God who split the sea for Moses, who toppled Jericho's walls, who raised Yeshua from the grave, is the God who gives you strength for today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeshua, you're awesome. We all have moments when our strength fails. Moments when our resources, our wisdom, our willpower simply aren't enough. This past week has been a time when this has been true for me. But it encourages me as I pray it encourages you. It's in those very places that Elsher invites us to lean in, to draw from something beyond ourselves. God's strength isn't just about making us feel safe. It's about making us strong. He doesn't just patch us up to limp along. He fills us with his power so we can stand, move forward, and even help others along the way. Oh, hallelujah! That's what I want. That's what I need today. What about you? Paul echoes this in the New Testament. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. That's one of my favorites. I quote that one all the time. It's found in Philippians 4:13. The strength we need is not manufactured out of thin air. It's received from the rock who never fails. But what does it mean practically to trust God as your sir? It means that when you hit the wall, you don't have to pretend to be strong. You can admit your weakness. Bring your emptiness to him and ask for his strength. The apostle said, when I am weak, he is strong. So admit your weakness. It means you stop measuring your capacity by your own limits and start measuring everything against God's limitless power. It means you have a foundation beneath you that will not be moved, no matter what comes. When you're exhausted, when you're discouraged, when you have nothing left, Elsher is the rock who gives you more than enough. Let's make space, even now, to invite God to be our strength. Maybe you want to whisper a prayer. God, I can't do this on my own. Be my rock, be my strength. Or maybe you need to sing or simply be still, letting him fill you with what you need for today. Promise is true. He is the rock. His works are perfect. His strength is enough. In your weakness, he is strong. When we step back and look at these names, El Simchat Gili, El Sali, El Sur, and Yahweh Suri, we see a picture of a God who is not far off or theoretical, but astonishingly present and real. He isn't just a concept for theologians or a comfort for difficult days. He's the God who fills every gap in our lives, the joy that floods our hearts, even when circumstances are hard, the solid foundation beneath us when everything else feels uncertain, and the strength that rises up within us when our own resources run dry. These names aren't just ancient Hebrew titles. They are invitations. God doesn't ask us to pretend life is easy or that we have it all together. Instead, he meets us right in the middle of our mess and our need. When you feel joyless, he offers himself as your exceeding joy. When you feel like the ground is shifting under your feet, he is your rock and your refuge. When you feel weak or overwhelmed, he becomes your strength, not just to help you survive, but to empower you to stand firm and even flourish. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I really needed this message today. Yeshua is our risen King. He's the face of God. He's our everything, joyful, steadfast, and strong. Our help, an ever-present shelter in the time of storm. Hallelujah. He is a joy that lifts our spirits, the rock that anchors us, and the strength that carries us. Because he has risen, we are never alone. We don't have to muster up faith or happiness on our own. We simply turn to him, speak his names, and trust that he is who he says he is. So as you move into this new week, let these names shape how you walk through whatever comes. When you feel drained or shaken or discouraged, don't reach for empty substitutes. Call on his name. Let Yeshua be your joy, your rock, your strength. He's already promised to be all these for you. All you have to do is say, "Here I am, Lord, I need you." And you'll find that he is present, steady, and strong, right where you are, right when you need him most. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Abba Father, El Simchat Gili, our joy, our Sali, our Ra, El Shir, our strength, we come before you so grateful for who you are. Thank you for being our exceeding joy when life feels heavy, for being the rock beneath our feet when everything else is shaking, and for being the strength we lean on when we have none left. Thank you that you are not distant or indifferent, but close, alive, speaking, moving, and holding us fast. Lord, would you remind us this week, in the moments we feel weak or uncertain, that you are present and faithful. Anchor us to your love and your truth. Fill us with your joy that runs deeper than any circumstances. Give us courage and strength to stand, to love, and to trust you more. We ask that your Spirit would go with us now, guiding our steps, guarding our hearts, and drawing us closer to you day by day. Let your joy, your rock-solid faithfulness, and your strength be evident in us so that others may see and know who you are and desire to know you too. We thank you, Lord, for being everything we need and more. We trust you, not only with our words, but with our whole lives. In the name of Yeshua, our risen King. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. I pray this message has encouraged you as it has encouraged me. This week, may you walk in his joy and build on the rock that cannot be shaken with the strength of the one who holds you in his hands and brings shalom to your home.